Welcome to the Ozone Basketball Podcast, everybody. Rob Ogden and Tony Gerdeman here. We are one game into the 2013-2014 season. We've got another one tonight. The Buckeyes are 1-0, coming off a pretty good performance against Morgan State on Saturday. Tonight, for the first time since 1994, they get the Ohio Bobcats. That should be a fun one. Definitely more intrigued to this one than Morgan State or pretty much any other game on their non-conference
it's
schedule.
It's nice to get it started. You know, the interest started right away, because that's not always the case.
Exactly. But first, let's talk about the win over Morgan State Saturday. Ohio State gets the balanced scoring that they've been looking for. Lenzel Smith Jr. goes for 18. Shannon Scott adds 16. LaQuinton Ross gets his first career double-double, going for 14 points and 11 boards. Mm-hmm. But the story really was Scott, who came out on fire. He hit those three consecutive threes in, like, the first 2 minutes. And he obviously showed that he's done a lot of work on his shot during the offseason. And I guess if he can be that type of scorer for Ohio State, that should make a huge difference going forward.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think, you know, he was 4-for-7 for three, and I don't think anybody would have ever expected him to take 7 3-pointers in a game this year.
Yeah.
You know, I'm of the opinion that all guards should be able to shoot, and if they can't, it's because they're not working hard enough. You know, and now that he can shoot, then maybe this is what we, you know, what he's going to produce.
Yeah. I mean, and you mentioned that they're not working hard enough, and I mean, it's kind of funny, but that's really what Mata said it was after the game. I think it was after the game on Saturday. He said, you know, one day this offseason, Scott put up 400 shots. And Scott said, you know, I've never done that before. And Mata said, well, that's why you don't shoot the ball very well. So, I mean, the fact that he's now, and he termed it, Scott himself said he didn't take his shot seriously, which I think that was a good way of putting it. I mean, like you said, if you're not working at it, if you're a guard and you're not working a shot, then you're not going to be getting better at it, obviously. Now he's trying to take it seriously. He said he's in the gym as much as he can, getting up 100 shots a day at least, or 100 threes a day is what he said. So, I mean, that's a good sign for Ohio State, because without a guy like Deshaun Thomas or a dominant post presence, mm-hmm. they're going to need those contributions from a guy like Scott. And that should open up the offense,
too. If you're a jump-shooting team, you have to be able to shoot.
Yeah.
You know, you were there. I mean, were these contested threes, or were they just leaving him alone and they didn't realize he could shoot yet?
You know, for the most part, they weren't contested threes. It was Morgan State. They're not the most sound team on defense. But he's knocking them down, you know, mm-hmm. and he's knocking them down consecutively. I mean, that's something you wouldn't have seen him doing last year.
Well, even the threat of him being able to shoot is going to open things up, because the defense just can't sag off of him.
Yeah.
You know, they're going to have to, you know, actually match him up. And I think that could open things up for, you know, everybody's driving game. And, you know, that's something that Sam Thompson's working on. It's something that Ross has gotten better at. So, I mean, just the threat, you know, he doesn't have to shoot 4-of-7 every night or 3-of-7.
Right.
But just teams knowing that, oh, now he can shoot, we have to defend him, is going to open things up.
Yeah, like you said, I mean, that's exactly what Mata said. And then Mata was asked after the game if he was more pleased with Scott's shooting or with Ross's rebounding. He said both.
Yeah.
And it's obvious, because, I mean, Ross's reputation coming into Ohio State and, you know, for the most part of the past two seasons has been he's a scorer, mm-hmm. you know, and that's pretty much it. He's not a guy who's going to, you know, be a real tough defender, and he's not going to get you much else. But then he goes out, he leads the team with 11 rebounds. So I think Mata was pretty ecstatic to see that, because he said, you know, coming into the season, we didn't know where the rebounds were going to come from.
I think the good thing is that he really struggled with the shot in the first half.
Yeah.
But he was still doing other things.
Yeah.
You know, he didn't just fade away. It's like, if my shot's not falling, you know, I'm just not into it.
Right.
He was into it in other ways. And then, you know, I think he went on a stretch where, you know, he hit a few in a row, and, you know, he got his numbers back up. But it's good that he's not just an offensive player right now.
Yeah, I think he might have only had 2 points at the half. Or, I mean, he was 1-for-7 from the field. Although, like, there was one possession where, like, I swear 3 or 4 of those attempts came on that one possession, because he just kept throwing it up and he kept missing and he kept getting his own rebound.
So half of his rebounds and
half of his shot attempts came on that one possession. That was in the first half. I don't remember exactly when it was. But either way, it's good to see him get that production, because you're not really sure what you're going to get from your other guys as far as rebounding.
No, I think you always know that Lenzel Smith will be down there, you know, on the defensive glass. And you just never know what you're going to get from Amir Williams, you know. And so if you can rely on LaQuinton Ross, you know, to get down in there, because he's one of your front court players, so you have to rely on him to rebound.
Right. Especially when they go small.
Yeah.
I mean, because there's times where he's the biggest guy on the court.
Yep.
I mean, they did that. It was Kraft, Scott. Who was in that at that time? I think De La Valle was in, maybe. Ross and It was either Thompson or Smith,
I assume. Or...
It was either Thompson or Smith. I don't remember, but it was a real small lineman. There was no centers, and there was no Mark Loving, the freshman. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's something we could see potentially, maybe. I mean, that'd be a fun lineup to watch.
Well, and the thing is, when you have two point guards like Shannon Scott and Aaron Kraft, I mean, your team is better when they're both out there, and that starts squeezing other people out.
Yeah.
And to have your best, I mean, if your best five are going to be out there, is Amir Williams going to be one of those best five most of the time?
I think Amir Williams is one of the five that gives them the best chance to win. But I don't think there's any argument that he's one of their best five. Right.
I guess it would be two different. We're looking at two different things. Yeah. The best five, you can't necessarily run with your. I mean, you run with them, but you can't stick with them.
Right.
The best five, because you still have to have that defensive presence inside, especially in the Big Ten.
I mean, it's what we talk about even in football. If Ohio State put their best 11 on the field, Kenny Guyton would probably be on the field,
right,
but you
yeah.
know, there's no place for him to play without taking Miller off or whatever. Back to basketball, though. Mata got the balance he was looking for. We mentioned that. I mean, they get 18, 16, 14, 14 from Sam Thompson off the bench, and then 10 from Loving, the freshman.
What'd you think of Loving?
Loving, he shot very poorly in the game against Walsh. He shot fairly poorly again Saturday, but he got opportunities. You know, he got to the line, I think, five times.
Yeah,
converted four of those. He shot a three. I think he missed. I think he was 0-for-1 from three. But he was down there, around the basket, getting tip-ins, getting rebounds. He's definitely an impact player. He's going to get minutes.
Yeah,
there's no doubt.
Yeah, I agree. Just there's only maybe four front court players.
Yeah,
four or five. So he's going to be one of those.
And, you know, Mata said that there's going to be some freshmen, whatever, getting accustomed to it. But he said they know that Loving can shoot.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that he struggled a little bit in these games, it doesn't really worry them as much because they know he can shoot.
I always look this early. I look at it more of look at the attempts that they're taking.
Right.
And he's, seven this time and however many last time. So he has confidence in his shot. If he didn't, he wouldn't be shooting.
Yeah.
So, I think when players shoot, they know their shot will fall or can fall. And to me, that's more important than being, 2-for-2 is nothing. You want to see them have that confidence to shoot.
Right. Going back to Thompson, though, he did come off the bench. That was the first time he came off the bench in over a year. He started every game last season. So he comes off the bench. He came off the bench in that Walsh game. But he plays 22 minutes. He has the 14 mm-hmm. points. He said, very unselfishly that it doesn't matter to him if he's coming off the bench. Mata said he talked about him. He even told him, you're playing the best basketball you've ever played. But, I mean, that's got to be hard to hear, saying, well, then why am I coming off the bench? He didn't make it seem like it mattered to him. But, I don't know, maybe that is a little bit of adjustment for a guy who started every single game for them last season.
Yeah, and I think it's a situation where you have six starters, but there's still that label on starting.
Right.
I think, maybe... One way to look at it is that there's a sixth man award, and maybe you start focusing on that a little bit, saying, you know what, there is recognition for you ahead. But if he's doing this every weekend or every week, then, you would take that. I think he'll get his 22 minutes every week, if not more.
I think so, too.
He's going to have a chance to, just because he doesn't start doesn't mean he can't earn his way to stay on the court.
Yeah.
His play will determine how much he plays, not the first 4 minutes of the game or the first, 6 minutes of the game.
Yeah.
It's, the other 36 minutes.
Yeah. I don't remember if we mentioned this last week on the pod or not, but Mata said, he tells the guys who come off the bench, I've had two guys get drafted in the first round who came off the bench.
Yeah, that's true.
So, I mean, that's something he likes to tell them. Getting back to Loving, he had 16 minutes, which I think is probably about what we can expect from him going forward. He was one of nine guys to rotate in, and I think that's probably the type of rotation we're going to see going forward. I mean, that's a much deeper bench than what Mata has utilized in the past.
Yeah, I think as long as he gets production, he can stick with it. It's when, the production isn't there that he starts to go away from it.
Yeah.
And he's always going to be looking. It's not just because it's a lesser opponent and, he'll let some lackadaisical stuff go, because he won't. You always have to be attacking or producing, or you always have to be defending regardless.
Right.
And if you're not doing that, then you won't play.
Right. And I think...
Just ask LaQuentin Ross.
Yeah, that's true. But, like I said, nine guys get in, including De La Valle, who plays 20 minutes. What did we say? We said 10 minutes for him last week.
Yeah.
It was like over-under.
Was he over-under?
Yeah. You said over.
I think I said, because it was over under last year, which was like 7.5.
Oh.
And then you went 10. I think I went over, and you might have gone under.
I think I went under, but I think I'm going to be wrong about that. Yeah. He's not going to play 20 minutes against, Big Ten opponents. But the fact that he got 20 minutes yesterday, that was more than, like, 3 or 4 other guys.
Mm-hmm.
Or not yesterday, Saturday. But the fact that he got 20 minutes, I think that means he's going to play. He only got 2 points, but I think he's definitely part of that rotation.
It seems that way, but, I want to see it against the Marquette or, Maryland, or not that those are any great shakes, but somebody other than Morgan State.
Yeah, definitely. Jake Lorbach gets in the game, not any meaningful minutes. Amir Williams and Trey McDonald combined for 10 points, 12 boards. Williams fouls out pretty early with more than 7 minutes remaining in the game. Is that enough to get the job done in the Big Ten, that type of production from the post?
12 points and 10 boards, or 10 points?
I think it was 10 points and 12 boards from your combination of two guys.
As long as, Ross is rebounding and things of that nature, I think they'll take that. Wouldn't you?
Yeah, I think you have to take it, because I don't think you have another option.
Yeah, that's true, too. it's better than, you know, 6 points and 5 boards and 9 fouls. Yeah. And
I don't know. I think that'll be tough once Big Ten play starts. I think that's plenty against Morgan State.
Yeah.
But, well, I mean, when you're in Big Ten play and there's legitimate post players that are going for 15, 20 points a game, and you've got these two guys combining for 10 and 12, I don't know if that's enough.
But if you look at it as, your one starting center who's averaging 12 and 10, or 10 and 12, you'll take that.
Right.
Right.
That's true.
I mean, I don't think Thad Mata is ever going to be satisfied with what these two guys can give him.
Yeah.
But you have to be satisfied with what you're getting, sort of.
Yeah, I mean, that's better than what they've got out of those two last year, for
right.
sure. I don't know if combined as a unit with Evan Ravenel in there last year, I don't know if it's an improvement over where they were last year. And
no, I don't think it's much of an improvement. I think if Thad Mata was happy, there would be no small ball. You wouldn't put Quentin Ross at the five ever, because, why would you?
Yeah. Yeah, I think you're probably right. So we'll see if they are able to improve it all going forward. I don't know. Defensively, do you think it's going to be a problem defensively? I mean, Amir Williams had those 5 fouls. In a Big Ten game, if he's fouling out with more than 7 minutes to go and you got to play Trey McDonald, who you don't know if you can rely on, that's going to hurt.
Yeah, it is. I don't even know how to put this into words. Fouling out against Morgan State, 14 minutes of play. I mean, who does that?
Yeah, that's true. He was only in there for 14 minutes. We'll see. We'll monitor that situation.
I mean, what was it? Were they, man-to-man fouls against, the opposing center, or was it help defense?
He picked up two early. I believe he picked up two real quick, because McDonald came into the game, only... He was the first guy off the bench because Williams picked up the two early. I don't think he picked another one up in the first half. But then he must have picked those three up quickly, because it was more than 7 minutes left in the second half when that happened. I didn't see many of... Because we should mention the new rules. I did not notice many of those being called. I mean, they were going to crack down on the hand-checking, mm-hmm. on the arm bars, and then they had the new rule with the block charge where you're not allowed to slide in
right.
in front of the player. I did not notice any of that, really.
Yeah. Aaron Kraft had one foul.
He had one foul. Yeah. After the game, Morgan State's coach said he didn't. And he kind of said it jokingly, but he said he didn't notice them calling those new rules on Kraft. So we'll see. I imagine we'll see more of that once Big Ten play starts.
Maybe they were calling them all on Amir Williams.
Yeah, maybe that's it. All those arm bars down there. I don't think there's much else to say about this Morgan State game. I think it was a good start for the Buckeyes. They got kind of what they were looking for. There's still some guys that, like those two, that they're going to want more out of. But overall, I think they got the offensive balance they were looking for. They played well defensively in the first half. I think there was a little more to be desired in the second half. Shannon Scott said that they kind of went to sleep a little bit in the second half, just got lazy.
Yeah.
So that's not going to be something they're going to want to do in Big Ten play, but he said they're going to get that fixed.
And it's also something that they won't have to do in Big Ten play.
Well, they can't do.
Yeah.
They'll lose if they do. Moving on to what we've all been waiting for, tonight's clash. Ohio comes to Columbus for the first time since 94. No one on Ohio State's roster remembers that, but Gerd does.
And so
does Jeff Bowles, who recalled the game very well yesterday. He came off the bench to score 14 points, added 8 rebounds as Ohio defeated Ohio State 78-67 in St. John Arena. That's the last time they played. What do you remember about that one, Gerd?
I remember coming from somewhere that I don't remember, but driving by the St. John Arena and asking people who were coming out who won, and knowing that the answer was going to be Ohio, and that it was Ohio. But that's about all.
Yeah. There's going to be a lot of familiarity tonight, even though those two teams haven't met in almost 20 years, because you know, you got so many of the kids on the Ohio team that are from Columbus, and they play pickup games. Aaron Kraft was saying yesterday that a lot of them come during the summer and they play together. Yeah. They're kind of friends, I guess.
Not to interrupt you, but
no, go ahead.
The one thing I do remember from that game is we had season tickets. We chose not to go for a good reason.
Yeah, you did.
And because, you know, we knew that it wasn't
going to be. Did you go to any games that year?
Yes, we did.
Was there a game worth going to?
Well, I don't remember.
I mean, you mentioned that, but buzzer beater over Northwestern.
Yeah,
was that season?
I don't know if that was 95 or 96, or they all blend together in that 4 or 5 years of suck.
Yeah, yeah. Back to what I was saying, though, a few Central Ohio kids on the Bobcat roster: Stevie Taylor from Gahanna, and then most notably Nick Kellogg, of course, the son of Buckeye great Clark Kellogg, mm-hmm. Who Nick was sure to note that Clark will be wearing green in the stands tonight, which makes sense. But yeah, I guess they play summer pickup games with them, so they know them well. And then of course Thad Mata and Ohio coach Jim Christian briefly worked together. Mm-hmm. They shared an office at Miami before Mata left for Butler. They were both assistants there. So this will be a fun one, a lot of familiarity. Ohio's an experienced team, a lot of upperclassmen, played in big games, so I don't think they'll be rattled much by the atmosphere at the mm-hmm. shot, maybe like a Morgan State would be.
Right.
But it'll be fun, it'll be a better measuring stick for Ohio State than
Emotion of the game and the players playing in it will be higher as well, which always brings a better, you know, outcome and a better contest, because, you know, obviously Morgan State wants to win, but they know they're not going to, whereas, you know, this Ohio team thinks that,
they think we can. Got a chance. Yeah. And that's the thing Bowles was talking about yesterday is, I mean, because he was recalling when he was playing in that game mm-hmm. against Ohio State, and he said, you know, that was such a great game because I wanted to come to Ohio State. I'm an Ohio kid, but I wasn't good enough. So I came to this game thinking, you know, we can beat them. Like, we're all pumped up, and then, you know, they don't look at it the same way, and so I think Mata told the team, and he said yesterday, that if we don't take this team for real, you know, we can get beat.
Yeah, the sad thing is that there were kids who weren't good enough to go to Ohio State at that time.
That is sad, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
Bowles might be a heck of a coach. I question what kind of player he was if he couldn't, you know.
He was a two-year captain, man. He had 14 points off the bench. I don't know. It'll be fun, though, for sure. I wish they would play these games more. I mean, we haven't seen this since 1994. We have seen Ohio State play games against other in-state teams recently. Mm-hmm. Miami, Dayton once. Was that the NIT?
I don't even remember. I know they played Toledo a few years back as well.
Cincinnati a couple times. Mm-hmm. Come on, that'd be fun, though. A little Ohio tournament.
I think the only people who don't want it seems to be Ohio State. Yeah,
that's for sure. I mean, Xavier, there's a lot of good basketball in Ohio. Mm-hmm. I mean, you think about 2 years ago when Ohio had like four teams in the Sweet 16.
No, I agree.
Man, that'd be a fun tournament every year.
And, you know, maybe to appease Ohio State, you just have it at, you know, maybe nationwide.
All those other Ohio teams would gladly agree to that, even traveling to Columbus to play.
No, I agree. Yeah, that would be good. That would be good.
You get Ohio, Cincinnati, Xavier, Dayton, and that's Ohio State.
It'd be good for the hotels downtown.
Even Cleveland State, they can play. And that'd be fun. Why doesn't that happen? That's the type of stuff that they need to schedule, because this schedule that they have now, very little interest. if they had a game like that, if they had a tournament like that, that'd be fun. I mean, other states do that, right?
No, yeah, they do. No, you're talking, I mean, this has been said around here forever.
All right, we'll try to get Gene Smith on that.
Yeah.
Okay. But anyway, tonight's game should be fun. Both teams are 1-0. Ohio beat Northern Iowa last Saturday. That's a decent win for them. And I think there's a lot of mutual respect between the teams just because of the familiarity. And like we said, it'll be a good measuring stick for Ohio, or Ohio State.
Yeah, we'll find out about Ohio State's three-point defense.
Yeah.
You know,
Bobcats like to shoot it.
And they're good at it.
Yeah. They shot it well on Saturday. Kellogg's really the trigger man back there from three. I don't know, what did he shoot?
He was 2 for 5.
2 for 5, yeah. They even got the big man who can shoot a little bit from back there.
That's going to be the most interesting part, where you've got a center who can, you know, stretch and shoot the three.
Yeah, well, Mark Loving was stepping out and shooting some threes, so.
Yeah, but as far as, you know, will Amir Williams be out there?
And, yeah.
He did that a few times last year, you know, he would block a couple of shots, but, you know, then it leaves the middle wide open, and, you know, we'll see.
Is there anything you're looking for specifically out of Ohio State for this game, just going up against, you know, a semi-legit opponent for the first time this season?
I think for me it's always how well Ohio State shoots, because I think they can beat anybody on their schedule if the shots are falling. It's when they go cold is when, you know, they can be beaten by a lot of teams.
Yeah.
So I think as long as the shots are falling, you know, the 18-footers, the mid-range stuff, when those are falling, then they're tough to beat. If they're not, then, you know, it won't take an outstanding performance from Ohio to get the win.
No, not if Ohio State's not shooting the ball.
Right.
And I'd kind of like to see more from Williams and McDonald's from that position, because, I mean, they were okay against Morgan State, but Morgan State wasn't, you know, very intimidating down there.
Yeah, it might be one way to, if they like to go to Amir Williams early to, you know, maybe take, maybe get a foul or two on Ohio's big guy, so that he presents less of a matchup problem if he's on the bench.
Yeah.
You know.
All right. Well, this will be a fun one to watch. Hopefully we get this podcast up in time before the game actually starts. But we'll be back next week, and I think that's all we got for today. So until then, peace out.
Definitely peace out.